fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is Dan Friedel, and for VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. It's December 28th, and we're heading into the final sports weekend of 2018. What a year! And there's still more to come. After all, we still have three more days. Who knows what interesting sports stories the weekend will generate that we'll be able to talk about on Monday. So with no time to spare today, let's get started. We're joined with this sports report from Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria. He has some news on the draw of the CAF Confederations Cup and the CAF Champions League. Welcome to the show, Samson.
We begin with the draws of the Total CAF Confederations Cup and the Total CAF Champions League, which is scheduled to take place later today in Cairo, Egypt. In the CAF Champions League, 16 teams have qualified for the group stage after the conclusion of the preliminary round last weekend. The teams that will be looking out for their opponents after today's draws include Wydad Athletic Club of Morocco, AS Vita Club, TP Mazembe of Democratic Republic of Congo, Al Ahly Sporting Club of Egypt, Simba Sports Club of Tanzania, Horoya AC of Guinea, Club Africa of Tunisia, and Orlando Pirates of South Africa. Others include FC Platinum of Zimbabwe, ASEC Mimosa of Cote d'Ivoire, Ismaili of Egypt, Club Sportif Constantinos, Johannes Sportif de la Zora of Algeria, Lobi Stars of Nigeria, and Mamelodi Sundowns of South Africa. Some football fans I spoke with here in Abuja do not believe there are any surprises in the group stage.
It's going to be a stacked CAF Champions League today with some top teams making it through to the group stage, which will start next year. The draws will be made on the 28th of December 2018.
Experience of Tunisia, TP Mazembe, and Mamelodi Sundowns. I think these are the three things that you can say that something is really coming up.
The regular one still pulls through. The rhythm is not yet to change. I think the dominance of Northern African teams will continue in the continent of Africa for a while.
And staying with football news, Kalidou Koulibaly has hit back at those who racially abused him in Napoli's 1-0 defeat to Inter Milan, saying he's proud of his skin color. The Senegalese was subjected to monkey chants at the San Siro, with Carlo Ancelotti insisting the event shamed Italian football. Koulibaly was sent off in the match for two bookable offenses, one of which seemingly came for sarcastically applauding the Inter fans for the abuse he received. And elsewhere in England, Mohamed Salah will not face any FA action for the incident which led to Liverpool's penalty and a 4-0 win over Newcastle on Boxing Day. Liverpool were awarded the penalty 2 minutes into the second half after referee Graham Scott judged Salah to have been pulled back by Paul Dummett. Mohamed Salah's reaction to being pulled back did not reach the required threshold for attempting to deceive the referee, and so the Egyptian will not face retrospective action. In athletics news, former World Marathon silver medalist Vincent Kipruto will lead Kenya's charge at the Xiamen International Marathon in China on June the 6th. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thank you, Samson. We look forward to hearing more from you next week. I'm Dan Friedel in for Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. We've got a soccer-heavy show for you today. We turn to Mugume Davis Rakaringi in Kampala, Uganda. Mugume caught up with Ahmed Hussein of the Federation of Uganda Football Associations. They spoke about Uganda's men's national football team being nominated as one of Africa's Teams of the Year. Uganda is being considered for the award, along with five other nations, including Guinea-Bissau, Kenya, Madagascar, Mauritania, and Zimbabwe. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports, gentlemen.
In 2016, you remember, the Uganda Cranes made it to the AFCON finals to play in Gabon. That was the following year. And that very year, in 2016, Uganda Cranes was voted the best national team. So when we are seeing this happening again, we feel that we are building on what we said at that time. And we strongly believe that the foundation that has been set since then and to what we want to be, remember, our vision is to be the number one football nation in Africa on and off the pitch. We have the belief that with our team yet to leak in a goal, we still have a huge chance of becoming again number one team in Africa.
With one game to spare and Uganda Cranes has qualified, does this suggest that Uganda Cranes in the right direction and is already there where it wants to be?
We have achieved the qualification, but we believe we are not yet there. The campaign is still on. We still have to play against our fierce rivals, Tanzania. Anyone who knows the history of football in the region between Uganda and Tanzania will definitely know that it's going to be a crack of a game. So we are looking forward to that. And qualification alone is not the epitome for us. We want to make sure that we are the number one football nation in Africa. That is our vision. We know the big teams in Africa, Ivory Coast, Egypt, South Africa, Nigeria, Ghana or Cameroon, we're also knocking on the door. The qualification campaign now gives us the chance on what to do in future and how to plan even after the next AFCON.
What are you doing to ensure that you actually are the best and when you represent Africa? Because the last time Uganda Cranes qualified, they didn't go beyond the group stages. What are you doing to make sure that you become the real very best?
Yeah, in 2017, remember, it had taken us 39 years of waiting. You can imagine what had changed between 1978 and 2017, a lot, in terms of preparation, in terms of organization, in terms of attitude with the players, professionalism. It's a whole new lot. But we believe that since 2017, there's a lot that we've learned in terms of how we're going to prepare the team, the friendlies, the players, in the kind of mood you've got to put them in. Not to think about so many things, that football is a priority, and then get the result for the fans. And we believe that we can get out of the group stages, and we have a plan. That plan, definitely, the head coach, Sebastian De Zerbri, will unveil at the right time.
There's one thing to qualify, there's one thing to be nominated for the two successive times to qualify for African Cup of Nations finals, but there's another deal also to maintain this. What are you going to do to maintain this and actually even become better?
As a federation, we are looking at 8 key focus areas. Those 8 key focus areas, we have got governance, we've got competitions, we've got the national teams, marketing and communication, we've got the membership, infrastructure, we've got also equipment that is needed, football development. Those are 8 key focus areas. So if we can attain good results in those 8 key focus areas, I can tell you that football in Uganda will never be the same in the next 10 years.
That's Mugume Davis Rakaringi speaking about the Uganda Cranes being nominated for the Team of the Year Award with FUFA's Ahmed Hussein and a very energetic dog in the background. We'll find out the winner of the honor on January 8th. I'm Dan Friedel in for Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. It's Friday, December 28th, and we hope you've had a great holiday week so far. And we're so glad you could join us leading up to the conclusion of 2018. On a personal note, I've been so happy to get to know our Voice of America audience in Africa so much better this year. I wish you all a great 2019. One person who definitely made my 2018 even more special was my colleague Gwen Uten, who came up to bat and socked home run after home run, helping me and Sonny put together this show each day. So thank you for your contributions this year, Gwen. Speaking of Gwen, she joins us now for a look back at the 2018 FIFA World Cup. Welcome, Gwen.
Earlier this month, Google released its list of the top searches for 2018, and guess what topped the list? The FIFA World Cup. FIFA President Gianni Infantino described the World Cup in Russia as the best in history. And ahead of the tournament, he thanked Russian President Vladimir Putin for serving as the host nation for the tournament.
From the bottom of our heart, a big, big, big thank you to you, Mr. Putin, for your engagement, for your passion, for making us really feel part of the same team.
to your government, to the local organizing committee, to the Russian Football Union, to all the volunteers in Russia, and to all the 150 or more million Russian people who are welcoming the world here in the next months. Thank you for being here. Спасибо, and I see you very soon. Thank you very much.
The World Cup trophy traveled to 50 countries before landing in the Russian capital, Moscow, where throngs of spectators from across the globe converged with their nation's flag in tow and team jerseys on full display. And cheering fans traded in their vuvuzelas from South Africa 2010 for the Russia 2018 Spoons of Victory. Well, the official instrument for the Russia World Cup was definitely a first in the tournament's history, and the first match of the tournament featured another first. 2018 marked the first time ball throwers in a World Cup opener were all female. The girls were from Russia, aged 13 to 16, and their team coach said stepping onto soccer's biggest stage was like a fairy tale for them. And in another first, the video assistant referee was featured for the first time. The VAR allowed refs to review calls and reverse decisions. FIFA called it a foolproof way to ensure a fair outcome. However, the system designed to erase controversy seemed to stir it up instead. In one instance during the tournament, Morocco looked to be on their way to victory in their match against Spain. But after a lengthy VAR review, an offside call was reversed, and Spain was awarded a goal that secured them the top spot in their group. Morocco finished at the bottom. After the match, a Moroccan fan said the VAR should be reviewed.
FIFA just is very selective in the way they're using the VAR. If they want to be a fair organization, sports organization, they should do something like tennis does, where a team gets two or three times where they can request or force a VAR.
In another first, 2018 marked Egypt's first appearance in the World Cup since 1990. Egyptian fans arrived in Russia early enough to welcome their home team and cheer on their star, Mohamed Salah, who made it to the World Cup to the great relief of his fans. Earlier in the year, Salah was forced out of the UEFA Champions League final due to a shoulder injury. And Egypt held its collective breath as Salah's World Cup appearance was thrown into question. Well, his injury seemed to get the better of him. Salah scored only two goals in the tournament, and Egypt finished their World Cup run at the bottom of their group with 0 points. Disappointed fans had to accept that their dreams of a World Cup title had been dashed.
It was a terrible experience for Egyptians, all Egyptians.
It was really disappointing that we lost. Actually, it was like there was a lot of mistakes from the manager.
But
the players did a really, really good job.
It's really disappointing, but actually it's a huge event that Egypt finally came to participate in the World Cup after 28 years. So good luck for the Egyptian national team and the best to come.
Yeah, I thought we will play much better.
Salah's cousin.
I had high hopes we can win or can even have a draw, but it was not a good game for us.
Nigeria also held up hope that their Super Eagles would become the first African nation to claim the World Cup title. You might remember the Nigerian prophet who correctly predicted his country would claim a 2-0 victory against Iceland.
Today, 2-0.
No!
Nigeria 2, Iceland 0.
Mm.
You can see.
Knockout.
Nigeria, Argentina.
Hey, 2-1.
Nigeria 2.
Hey,
Argentina 1.
Hey.
Whoops, that second prediction wasn't meant to be. Argentina scored in the 86th minute of the match to advance to the next round and send Nigeria home. Nigeria were the youngest team in the tournament and the only African team from Brazil 2014 to return to the World Cup. They bowed out of their group in third place. Africa's hopes for a title then rested solely on the shoulders of the Senegalese.
Senegal! Senegal!
The The Lions of Taronga were the only African team to win a first-round match, but they fell just short of making it to the knockout stage, leaving the tournament as the first team in World Cup history to be eliminated on a fair play tiebreaker. Senegal and Japan found themselves tied in points after they each lost their final matches in the group stage. The deciding factor came down to the number of yellow cards each team racked up throughout the tournament. Senegal tallied 6, Japan only 4. So Japan advanced and Senegal ended their World Cup run in third place. It was the first time in 36 years that no African team advanced to the knockout stage. One Senegalese fan said, although Africa was well represented at the Russia World Cup, the journey towards winning a title has been tough.
I think that it just shows how much it's difficult for African countries, because I believe all the African countries with Senegal are unfortunately going home. But you know, the passion is there. It's just that the means are not there to make sure that the best get the best training and compete and are able. But I believe we will get there one day.
However, fans from Senegal and Japan were united inside Ekaterinburg Stadium. Spectators from both countries were caught on video tidying up the stands following their matches with the common goal of leaving things just as they found it. One Twitter follower from Senegal summed it up, writing, "It's our way of saying thank you." Germany, who were favored to defend their 2014 World Cup title, suffered a stunning early loss and left the tournament in last place in their group. Their elimination opened the door for Brazil, who would have loved nothing more than to make their 2014 loss against Germany a distant memory. But despite Neymar leading the way, Brazil fell to Belgium in the quarterfinals. I'm Gwen Uten, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The excitement surrounding the 2018 World Cup reached its peak in the final match between the young, exciting French team and a surprise appearance by Croatia, a small country that caused shockwaves when they knocked out England to reach the championship round. The World Cup final remains the single most watched sporting event in the world, and over 1 billion viewers tuned in to watch France become the 2018 FIFA World Cup champions. France defeated Croatia in a 4-2 victory, due in part to the scoring prowess of Antoine Griezmann and Kylian Mbappe, who became the first teenager since Pelé to score in a World Cup final. However, it was Croatian midfielder Luka Modric who was named best player of the Russia World Cup for his role in helping his team reach the finals. Modric later said his team was so eager to achieve something great at the World Cup, their emotions nearly overwhelmed them.
There is so many parts that we will remember forever, but when we arrived in Croatia and we saw all these people, we were more than surprised. We from airport until main square, we drove on the open bus like for 7 hours, and we didn't even feel it. We thought we were there like half an hour. It was so emotional to share all these joys with your people, and it showed us how big result we achieve in this World Cup, and we are very proud of that we bring happiness to our people and, of course, happiness to us.
Later in the year, Modric was named FIFA Men's Player of the Year for 2018, beating out fellow nominees Cristiano Ronaldo and Mohamed Salah. I'm Gwen Uten, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Thank you, Gwen. On another note, Modric was just named Balkan Athlete of the Year ahead of Novak Djokovic, who we'll hear from shortly. Couple quick NBA notes. If you noticed LeBron James walking gingerly off the floor on Christmas Day with a groin injury, it looks like he will be back soon, but not soon enough, as the Lakers lost 117-116 on Thursday night to the Sacramento Kings. Kings, the Lakers' opponent in that game, Golden State, lost a heartbreaker 110-109 to the Portland Trail Blazers. And Gwen is back now to look at a tennis tournament many players are using to get ready for the Australian Open, which starts in Melbourne on January 13th. Sporty greetings once again, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Dan. The exhibition tournament got off to an exciting start when the Williams sisters took center stage in front of a packed stadium. Serena returned to Abu Dhabi and the tennis court in her first appearance since her controversial loss to Naomi Osaka at the U.S. Open earlier this year. But despite winning the first match on Thursday, it was older sister Venus who came away with a straight set win in her tournament debut. Afterwards, Venus said they wanted to give it their all in their opening match, and they can only go up from here. For her part, Serena said, getting back on the court felt like old times. Serena also spoke to reporters ahead of the match and said while competing in Abu Dhabi will help her get ready for next month's Australian Open, it's still tough to leave her daughter behind. On Friday, defending champion Kevin Anderson claimed a surprise victory over Spain's Rafael Nadal. The South African dropped the first set but went on to win in three sets to move on to the semifinal round. Last year, Rafael Nadal withdrew from the Abu Dhabi season opener due to a lingering knee injury. This year, Nadal entered the tournament following a three-month layoff because of a hip injury. Ahead of Friday's match, Nadal told reporters, getting back to top form has been slow but steady.
Good, going step by step. Not making step backs, just step forward all the time. But, you know, taking care of my body after a while without having the chance to be on court. And, you know, trying to do things slowly. You know, it's important for me to protect the body and to avoid tough circumstances. So, excited to be back on court, excited to be back in Abu Dhabi, and just looking forward to start the new season.
Serbia's Novak Djokovic is back in Abu Dhabi in top form as the world number one. The 31-year-old had a remarkable 2018 season to return to the number one spot, and he is said to be the man to beat. He will face Russia's Karin Khachanov on Friday, and ahead of the match, Djokovic told reporters winning in Abu Dhabi will cap off a great season.
I'm hoping I can transfer the success that I've had in the last 6 months of the 2018 season into the beginning of 2019 season. Obviously, I've had lots of success in Mubadala World Tennis Championships before in my career. I've played here several times, and it's a great way to jumpstart the season. I'll enjoy seeing a lot of families on the stands as well, and experiencing some high quality tennis in somewhat of a more relaxed environment and atmosphere, and hopefully we can have a good weekend.
Djokovic is hoping to start 2019 with a title at next month's Australian Open. And on Thursday, he backed the tournament's decision to introduce a final set tiebreak. The new rule now leaves the French Open as the only Grand Slam event with the potential for a long final set. The Mubadala World Tennis Championship concludes on Sunday, December 29th. The Australian Open is set to begin on January 13th, so stay tuned for that. And that ends the week. More sporty news to come. Back over to you, Dan. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, Gwen. Have a good weekend, too. And that wraps up the December 28th edition of The Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger and VOA engineer Nick Ivanov. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Dan Friedel in for VOA's Sunny Young in Washington, and that's The Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. We'll be right back.
friends. This is Sunday Shomari host of Let's Talk. Join me along with the hosts of VOA's hottest new television show, Our Voices, this Monday. The ladies will share their thoughts on our topic, Searching for Love. That's Monday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
This is Science in a Minute.
The Christmas tree is a popular centerpiece for many of the people who celebrate the holiday this time of year. But once the holiday is over, it's time to take down the tree and put away the decorations for another year. Those who prefer a live Christmas tree over an artificial model also must decide how to dispose the tree itself. Rather than just depositing the used Christmas trees in a landfill, researchers at the UK's University of Sheffield suggest that the tree's pine needles can actually be processed into bioproducts that can be used in a number of industries. The researchers say the pine needles can be broken down into a liquid and a solid byproduct. Among the chemicals that could be produced from the pine needles are glucose, an ingredient that can be processed into sweeteners for food, and acetic acid for making paint, adhesives, and even vinegar. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
Voice of America's Straight Talk Africa puts you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they talk about the most important social and political issues that affect you.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa. VOA.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscasts covering Africa news. Tune in on top of each hour 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.
This is the